Blind unbelief is a horrible evil that blocks the course of blessing for untold numbers of people. Encumbered by worry, fear, and misery, they have no understanding of God's peace. Well, this can be changed. Several days after the events of our previous study, we see from John chapter 7, verse 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.'" Probably one reason why John spoke of this particular day of the Feast of Tabernacles as being great was that on this day water was drawn from the pool of Siloam by the priest, and with stirring pomp and ceremony it was carried back to the temple and poured upon the altar before the eyes of the people. Though the exact meaning of this ceremony is not known, it is believed that it was done in remembrance of the rock that was smitten at Horeb in the wilderness, from which gushed forth the refreshing water. Witnessing this ceremony, our Lord took his position where he could be seen by a host of people, and he shouted, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." The living water was for anyone, irrespective of his background or culture, anyone who had a thirst, a spiritual desire to receive that which could truly satisfy. When one comes to Jesus Christ and truly believes on him, a great transformation takes place in the heart. "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." The moment one believes on Christ, the Holy Spirit makes his habitation within the believer. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Only those who are truly saved have the Spirit within. The Holy Spirit enables the believer to live for God. He is enabled to live a life of victory and blessing described by our Lord as rivers of living water. As a flowing river never becomes stagnant, when the believer is controlled by the Spirit of God, his life will be joyous and fruitful. Now in verse 40 we read, "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet.'" Now they were thinking, of course, of the prophet like unto Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. But others said, "This is the Christ." There were some who refused to recognize the Lord Jesus as the Anointed One prophesied in the Old Testament. They said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" These questions revealed the prejudice that filled the hearts of many in our Lord's day. Had they done a bit of searching, they would have discovered that Christ was born in Bethlehem, as the Old Testament prophesies, and he would be the Son of God, as we read in the Old Testament. But knowledge of the truth, though essential, is not adequate alone. There must be a heart acceptance of the Word of God if one is to be saved. Now the Apostle John had several comments concerning Christ. Verse 43, "There was a division among the people because of him." This attitude toward the Savior has continued to our day, and it will prevail until Christ reigns in power on this earth. For the Lord Jesus is a divider of men. I read in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. Some will believe on Christ, some will reject Christ. Not all will become his followers." Verse 44, "Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him." Doubtless these would-be attackers were divinely restrained. No one could harm Christ until his hour came, that the perfect plan of God might be fulfilled. How clear these truths are concerning Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of men. The Pharisees and chief priests had sent officers to arrest Christ because of the disturbance that was being created in the temple. Apparently, several days later, we find that the officers returned to the chief priests and Pharisees. But look what happened. Verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered in verse 46, Never man spake like this man. How surprised the chief priests and Pharisees must have been to receive such a response from the officers who were commissioned to arrest Christ. They were putting themselves in jeopardy before their own masters. But after having listened to Christ attentively, they were convinced that he was different from any other teacher they had ever heard. They were amazed and astounded at our Lord's words. For as we read in Matthew 7:29, he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. With scorn and ridicule, the answer came from the Pharisees. Are ye deceived? Feeling that they were losing the support of their own officers, the Pharisees proceeded to reason with them. Verse 48. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Now the Pharisees were recognized as scholars. They were also wealthy. Thus, because of their knowledge and wealth, they acquired high positions. Leaning upon their reputation, they sought to argue the officers out of their convictions. Verse 49. But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed. By this people they referred to the multitudes, the common people, who had not been privileged to attend the rabbinical schools such as the Pharisees. Cursed, as used here, was a term of scorn and contempt, used in the sense that any opinion expressed by these people was worthless and meaningless. It is easy to sense the pride displayed by the Pharisees in their attitude that only they had possession of the truth. They had knowledge, but it is obvious that they had never experienced a heart relationship to God. The Lord has his witnesses everywhere. Suddenly a new voice was heard. Verse 50, Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? It was about a year and a half after Nicodemus had come to Jesus on a nighttime visit. It was then that this Pharisee heard of the new birth, one of the most profound truths ever to reach the ears of anyone. We are not told in the third chapter of John that Nicodemus believed on Christ, but from what he says now, it is very obvious that he did. Indeed, God has his witnesses on every occasion. There have always been those who have sought to stand in the way of the testimony of the truth. But in every generation, regardless of the circumstances, God's faithful servants have arisen to the challenge of the hour to make known the name of Jesus Christ. God has said in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 12, Ye are my witnesses. Every true believer is called and appointed by God to be a witness to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Well, after Nicodemus faithfully witnessed, the Pharisees answered, verse 52, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Their reply suggests that Nicodemus had said all that he could on this occasion, for his friends were embittered. But it seems, for the time being at least, that these Pharisees were silenced, for every man went unto his own house, the Bible says. What more could they say? It is obvious that their satanic attack to harm the Lord Jesus was foiled because it was a battle between men and God. In such a battle, man always loses. Now, my friend, could it be that you have been resisting God? It's a losing battle. Give up. Surrender. Come to Jesus Christ. Bow to him. You will ever be grateful that you did. I've never met anyone who was saved that they were disappointed that they were saved. They rejoiced in the great salvation. I urge you to trust Jesus Christ right now as your Savior and Lord, and see for yourself that Jesus Christ satisfies. Blessed Lord, break down the barriers, I pray. Pride and self-will have been barriers for so many. Deliver us from these enemies as we yield fully to the control of Jesus Christ, that he may reign in our lives. For I ask in his wonderful name. Amen.